minutes after the hour. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Joining me now on our First Advantage hotline is the Swole Cracker, my good friend Steve Ivey of RamNation.com. I love what you guys do at Ram Nation. You got the rowdiest bunch of fans that are on that page talking Rams. It's a beautiful thing, so keep up the great work. Steve, my man, what's happening?
Hey, I'll tell you what, Brady, happy conference tournament season. It's awesome. I've been watching the first half of the New Mexico Nevada game, which is a brutal game, by the way. I'm not sure if you're getting a glimpse at it. New Mexico somehow with a one-point lead with 14 turnovers and committing 14 fouls. It's going to be very interesting to see which team can get settled down, because there's not a lot of settling down going on in that game.
Hey, maybe they're just nervous because they're like, you know what, if we win, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, we got to go play Boise State next.
Yeah, that's a tall task. Boise State is a heck of a team. We got a chance to see them on Saturday. I know you probably watched it on TV. Boise State's a very, very good team. I was very impressed, more so in person than I was watching them on TV. They're a very good team.
No doubt about it. You know, I asked Jesse Kurtz moments ago, the lead anchor for the conference, and I said, hey, who's the best team? And you know, he's saying the right thing, the politically correct thing. He's like, hey, you got to go with who won the regular season title. But come on, Steve, we know who the best team in the conference is, right?
Well, obviously, I'm a little biased. I do know one thing. CSU had better non-conference wins, and they didn't lose to a team as poor as Cal State Bakersfield. But Boise State made some changes after those early games, and they really are good. I thought the game in Moby on Saturday night was probably the best game I had seen in Moby in years. I thought both teams are very, very effective on both sides of the ball. Both play good offense, both play good defense, and they can come at you from so many different ways. So, obviously, I lean towards CSU, and I think CSU has a very good chance of winning the tournament.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's going to be, boy, that other side of the bracket. I mean, I know CSU potentially could play San Diego State in the semifinals, but I don't know why. UNLV just terrifies me. If I'm Wyoming right now, I'm looking at the road ahead. That is going to be a tough battle for the Cowboys. They got to get past a surging UNLV team, and if they somehow win that game, they got to play probably Boise State. And then if they somehow win that game, it's probably going to be either CSU or San Diego State. So Cowboys got a tough road.
Cowboys have a really tough road, and you know, it's been they've had a fantastic season. I think they've paid a little price of not having a real strong bench. I think they've gotten worn out as the season has gone on, and we'll see what happens. They've got a few days of rest to get things together. We'll see what happens with them, but I'll tell you what, UNLV is a tough task in their own gym. That's going to be a tough game.
Yeah, no doubt. It's going to be tough for sure. All right, so talk to us about the matchup tonight or later on, or actually what, in an hour, Utah State and Air Force. You thinking it's going to be Utah State that the Rams are facing tomorrow?
Yeah, they're good. You know, there's when I talk about the Mountain West this year, you know, you had the top four teams that I think are lined up pretty well for the NCAA tournament. I think Wyoming might have a little work to do, but the top three are certainly going to get at-large bids. But if you look down at a little lower into the conference, you got teams like Utah State and Fresno State. Fresno, I think, is San Diego State light. Utah State, I look at them and I think they're CSU light. I just think they're a little bit short of where CSU is, but I think they're a darn good team. They can score, they can defend, they can come at you a lot of different ways. And as good a season as I think Air Force has had relative to last year, I don't think they have the experience or the firepower or the athleticism to stay with Utah State. I look for Utah State to win by low double digits. I think they're favored by 14 or 15. That might be a little large, but I think it's a 10 to 12 point game.
We're talking to Steve Ivey of Ram Nation. All right, Steve, just take us through it then. Who do you think is going to pull it out? Nevada, New Mexico. Who's going to be facing Boise State tomorrow?
I think it'll be Nevada in the end, only because if you look at New Mexico, they're in huge foul trouble, 14 fouls. Mm. They're very much a backcourt driven team. Jalen House and Jamal Mashburn. Mashburn has two fouls. House has three after the first half. So they're going to be limited in what they can do. They're not going to be going into the paint as much. And I think Nevada's talent with their backcourt of Sherfield and Cambridge will take over, and I think they're going to move on.
All right, so how about Wyoming and UNLV? What do you think of that matchup?
I really want to see Wyoming win only because I'd like to see them guarantee. It could be 50-50 of them getting into the tournament if they don't win. I'd like to see them win to get into the tournament, but boy, I don't see how they're going to beat UNLV. I think UNLV on their home floor is going to knock them around a little bit. I think it'll be a very, very physical game. But yeah. I think the Rebels out on top.
Yeah, UNLV's been smoking hot. Boise State's moving past, right? Then they'll move into the semifinals to take on, as you're saying, more than likely UNLV.
Yeah, I don't see Boise State losing to Nevada, as I said, I have Nevada moving on. There's no way Boise State's going to lose that matchup. I think they're going to roll over them. If you've been watching any Mountain West basketball this year, Nevada's easily the most disappointing team. They look so disinterested. They'll engage for about 5 minutes, and then they'll just play the worst minute of basketball you've ever seen, and they can turn a 2-point lead into a 5-point deficit in a heartbeat, and that's just the way they go. And you can't play that way against Boise. Boise's too darn good on both ends of the floor. So I think they're going to have a cakewalk over Nevada, to be honest with you.
Okay, so then you have Boise State and UNLV in the semifinals. Do you think UNLV keeps this momentum going and they pull off an upset? What do you got there?
Actually, I don't. I think Boise will advance to the final game. I think they have, if you look at UNLV, one great player in Bryce Hamilton. I think Boise State has a couple of good defenders that can defend Hamilton out of the game. And when I say that, that means holding him to 20 points as opposed to 25, 30, or 40 points. And that's how you stop UNLV, is by stopping Bryce Hamilton. So I look at Boise to advance to the final game.
So
I think it'll be a well-contested game, but I think Boise will win by mid-single digits, I mean.
All right, so you got Boise State in the championship. Let's go down to the other side of the bracket. You got Utah State and CSU, San Diego State, and, I mean, do I even have to ask? Fresno State, right? So I would assume, right, Steve? You're not thinking an upset's happening.
Yeah, Fresno State, I don't think they're going to have any problem with San Jose State. And because of the fact that they're almost a mirror image of San Diego State, that could be a really, really interesting quarterfinal game with the Aztecs. And I don't think that Fresno has the firepower to win a game, but my gosh, they took them to double overtime in San Diego a week or so ago. And they can do it because they can defend, and we know that San Diego State is sometimes very offensively challenged. But I look for San Diego. I think the chalk is going to advance into the semifinals, and I think San Diego State will end up winning that game as well. So I'm moving on to the semis.
All right, so CSU going up against Utah State. Will CSU be moving right along to take on the Aztecs?
Yeah, I think so. Both games, by the way, during the regular season were very well contested. Both were not decided with 4 minutes to go, and CSU is going to have to bring it, but I think they will. I think they're ready. Anybody who saw them play in the last, ever since that final, that last road game at UNLV, CSU has been very good, and I think they're really really geared up. You heard them talking. You heard Nico talk, and you've heard the players talking about being 0-0, they're really locked into the postseason. I think they're going to move on in a well-contested game.
All right, semifinals on that other side for the chance to go play Boise State and maybe steal that top Mountain West team title away from them. Who do you got? I mean, CSU, it's going to be a dogfight.
It is going to be, I think, probably the best game of the I think it'll be the best game of the tournament, to be honest with you. I think San Diego State has been actually playing very, very well. They are offensively challenged, but getting better. Great defense. You got basically the best offense in the league versus the best defense in the league. I lean toward the Rams because they do have the ability to play defense as well, maybe a little better than San Diego State plays offense. But I think that's the ultimate barn burner game. I think that'll be so well contested. You know, we had CSU lost by 30 in a game earlier in the year, with kind of crazy circumstances when they had they took the game with San Diego State because of COVID, and in 36 hours prior to the game, they found out they were going on a road trip. That was a kind of a weird setup, and CSU didn't play so well. The game back in Moby, CSU had San Diego State. Only two teams have had San Diego State down by 20 points this year. CSU was one of them. They had them by 20 points with 10 minutes to go, and inexplicably fell apart in the last 10 minutes to let the Aztecs back in the game. If CSU can get the lead, they're not going to throw away a 10 or 20 point lead this game. And I think they're going to get out to a lead, and I think they'll hang on. But I think it'll be they won't get to 20. They may get to 10, and I think it'll be a tight game down the finish. But I think CSU will hang on and advance to play Boise in the championship game. I'm going pure chalk all the way.
Now, who you got? Okay, so yeah, that championship game, boy, you know Boise State would love that to try to see if they can make up for losing twice to Colorado State. That one, you talk about barn burners, that could be another great one.
I think it's going to be a great game, Brady. I think it'll be a great championship game if those two can meet. And I think CSU will prevail, and I think Boise fans will be complaining about a foul call that was missed at the end.
It wouldn't be a Boise-CSU game without that, right?
Absolutely not. The whining from that part of the country has been exceptional at the end of games. For some reason, they choose to ignore the first 39 minutes of 58 seconds of every game, and they think the game comes down to the last 2 seconds. And CSU was the better team in both the matchups. And I think that when I say better, just barely, it's one or two plays. But I think when you have a player like David Roddy, I think Roddy's the difference. Boise's a very balanced team that comes at you with five guys. But in the end, when you're in the end game in a very, very close game, when you got a guy like Roddy on the floor and you got a guy like Isaiah Stevens on the floor, I think you've got what it takes to get you over the top in those really tight games.
Yeah, it's going to be fun, man. It's going to be such a blast to see how this thing unfolds. We've been looking forward to it, and it looks like Nevada-New Mexico, as you said, maybe an ugly game, but they're keeping it close. Nevada up 40-39, is that right? My game cast, I'm refreshing here, is a little slow.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those games. I'm dying to see how many fouls get called in the second half. You know, if you watch enough college basketball, you'll see them call 25 or 30 fouls in a half, and then they'll just swallow the whistles in the second half in these tournament games, and it could turn into roller derby the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. It's a fun time. We'll see what happens next as we get ready for Air Force and Utah State going up against or at 2:30. We'll find out who the Rams are for sure playing tomorrow. Steve, my man, always appreciate you, and we'll look to catch up with you next week. We'll be talking big picture stuff for Colorado State, so that should be fun as well.
Hopefully next week we'll get to touch bases, and I'll be in a different city. I will be going to the first round of the NCAA.
Wow.
So unless they CSU gets sent to Buffalo, I have already informed everybody that I will not go to Buffalo. Have you ever been to Buffalo, Brady?
I've never been to Buffalo.
Don't.
Just no interest at all.
I have, and it's miserable. I'll go to any other site. So the plan is to be there and root on the Rams, and I'm really looking forward to it. So maybe we can touch bases from I'm hoping San Diego. I told Joe Parker a few days ago, you're under instructions to get us to San Diego, Fort Worth, or Greenville, South Carolina. So fingers crossed.
Hey, by the way, I hear a guest back there. Is that Mookie? Is that Mooks back there?
Yeah, I apologize. My wife had to go to the doctor's appointment. That is little Mookie. I don't know if you got a chance to see the picture I put on Twitter with Kendall Moore. And Kendall was awesome, holding him and loving him. And, you know, I got a chance to meet Kendall's mom on Saturday night, and I told her she was a grandma, and she knew all about Mookie, and she was so excited, too. So we're having fun with that. Mookie, unfortunately, has one loss, but we're hoping he goes undefeated for a while in the postseason.
I love it, man. Steve, always great catching up with you, my friend. And, we'll be excited to talk to you next week.
You bet. Thanks, Brady. Have a great week.
All right, my man. There's Steve Ivey of Ram Nation. If you're a Rams fan, you guys got to check out Ram Nation. I love those guys. Steve Ivey. You got Joel Cantalamessa doing amazing things with that that outlet. I love it. 20 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, what else we got here? Yeah, we'll get into more of this Broncos stuff. And I do think that you guys are disrespecting John Elway big time. I mean, let's not forget who the hell started this, bring in the top dogs in, as far as quarterbacks into this organization. How quickly some of you forget. I'm sorry. You can be critical of John. Yes, be very critical of his last 6 years. This is John freaking Elway. He's responsible for 3 Super Bowls, 2 as a player, as a quarterback, and 1 as a GM. And you're just going to drop him off like this and say that, boy, thank goodness John got out of the way. I mean, he was still in the way when he made the hire. He hired George Payton. Come on. Respect that guy a little bit more than that. 21 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We still have Bodie Hume coming up, too. The Bears play tomorrow, and they'll see who they're going to go up against, either Northern Arizona or Eastern Washington. That game coming up later on today as well. So we'll talk about that all and all coming up on the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
Join the Hull Show Bracket Challenge. Winner gets $500 cold hard cash. Keep listening to Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to the Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
I want to thank Rev Chiropractic. Man, they just take care of me. My back has had issues over the years to the point where it just makes me grumpy. Or it used to make me grumpy. I'd wake up just stiff. I couldn't sleep very well. Needed some help, and I tried. I tried getting it cracked and doing all the popping stuff. And it was satisfying for a moment. And then you get in the car, and slowly it started hurting again. And you're thinking, wow, that was money down the drain. And I don't know. Maybe it works for you. But Rev Chiropractic worked for me. It's a longer process, but it's got longer term effects than what you'll see. Dr. Tyler Terry, Dr. Haley Harada, they do such a wonderful job over there, and I've been over there for over a year. And again, the back pain is almost gone, is virtually gone. I mean, sometimes you sleep wrong, whatever, and it's kind of achy, and then you go right back in. They get you right back into shape. Tell them I sent you from the whole show. If you're hurting, you don't have to be. Stop by Rev Chiropractic. They're located off of Highway 34 and 35th Avenue in the same shopping center that is where Home Depot is. Check them out. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Hey, you look at the free agents list for, you know, potential for the Broncos. And, you know, you got to look at offensive linemen. Because I think that that's going to be a must. Armstead, formerly with the New Orleans Saints, or at least right now, free agent, is somebody that I think, I mean, I think he's the top-rated free agent right now. And you're looking at, you're definitely needing a tackle. You know, and right tackle is the position, but he's going to be a lot. I mean, that's going to be a lot of cheese. And what you have in cap space, you have $24 million or $26 million in cap space. So what kind of money are you looking at for a right tackle for to protect Russell Wilson? I mean, you're going to be thinking about it. The highest paid right tackle, I think, in the NFL, maybe in NFL history, is like, wasn't it a $96 million deal? And it's like, so $19, $20 million a year. Well, that eats up most of your cap space, just like that. Broncos had all the space in the world, and just like that, Russell Wilson comes over, and you get a right tackle. I don't think they're going to go that route, because that's just, I mean, if you can get him, that's a huge hit, but I don't think you're going to do anything else. So, Von Miller's a big name that's popping up. What are you going to be able to get Von for? Is he worthwhile? Zach Stevens told us on Monday that he doesn't really expect Vaughn to change too much, but that was before the Broncos had Russell Wilson. As far as change too much, meaning would he come down at all? Would he give the Broncos a discount? But that was before Russell Wilson. So does that change things? They need an edge rusher. They need a tackle. Chandler Jones is a name out there as well with Arizona. What's the priority? What should the priority be for Denver? Well, they're not. What's their biggest position of need? Well, I thought it was inside linebacker. I think it's right tackle. Now that it's changed because protecting Russell Wilson at the age of 33 is now the utmost, is of the utmost importance for Denver now. Keeping Russell upright, protecting him, allowing the run game to free up some receivers as well, making Russell's job easier. So I do think that the top position of need is right tackle. If you're the Broncos, do you go all in and say, hey, we're going to get one of the best tackles in the game, or at least free agents in the game? He's not the best run blocker, though, Armstead. That's the worry. That's the worrisome part there. So will Denver go high there, or will they go down middle of the road kind of guy? J.C. Jackson, formerly of the Patriots, defensive back, might be a guy they look at to try to fill it up. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. I think free agency is going to be interesting. I don't think it's going to be end-all, be-all type stuff, because I think the Broncos are going to try to play the long game a little bit here with Russell. I still expect this team to be a playoff team. That's the expectations. If they don't, it's a failure. But I do think that this team is going to take the long game approach, even though it seems like a Manning fix, and it's like, we're going all in on Manning, it's plan A. I think they're going to do this thing a little bit differently. I think George Payton, you know, obviously the next 2 years, you don't have first round, second round picks, but I think he's still going to find ways to build this team through the draft. And I think he's the guy to do it. If there's a guy that can say, hey, we just traded everything to get Russell Wilson, but still think we can build around Russell, I think he's the guy to do it. That's how much faith I have in George Payton after 1 year. 31 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break. We'll catch up with Bodie Hume of the UNC Bears. The Bears going at it tomorrow. They'll face the winner between Northern Arizona and Eastern Washington. They tip off from Boise at 2:30. So, you know, in a few hours, we're going to find out who the Bears are playing tomorrow in their first game of the Big Sky Conference Tournament. Remember, got to win it all if they want to go dancing. 31 minutes after the hour, let's get a short break. Let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Kelly Lyle with the Fort Collins, Colorado, and your CSU Insider on the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Six minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the show. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Catching up with the man himself, Bodie Hume, for the UNC Bears basketball team, getting set to go tomorrow, waiting on their opponent. They're going to see who they'll play. Well, in a few hours, we'll know. Bodie, my friend, appreciate you as always. Love getting a chance to talk to you, especially when, hey, from Boise, man, this is a pretty cool deal for the show.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's a lot of fun for me to be able to talk while we're here. It's the first experience for me, so it's going to be something new and fun.
So what are you doing right now? Like, are you – what's practice look like? Are you watching games? What's the schedule look like for you?
Well, currently I am fixing the AC in our meeting room because that thing is way too hot in here. But, no, we had practice. We had practice already to start the day. It's kind of weird. They only give you an hour time of practice on the floor. So, you know, you show up, you don't get to touch the ball right away. As soon as someone touches a basketball, the time's on. So do all that extra stuff. And showed up yesterday, got a little practice in, have done film on both teams that we could possibly play. And just kind of taking things slow, but still grinding.
How big is this for you, obviously, knowing, okay, I've been here a few times. How, you know, important is that for you to say, hey, guys, this is kind of, I got to lead this group here? Because it is a completely different environment than what you're, you know, what players are used to throughout the course of the regular season.
Yeah, I wouldn't say necessarily lead a bunch, just because, like, we have a lot of guys that have been through this and have been part of this. And even last year, like we had a lot of kids that got to do this and be a part of this Big Sky tournament with us. So that's always fun. I would say more just like showing them the ropes and showing them like what our intentions are for this year's tournament.
Talking to Bodie Hume. Again, we've been able to do this each and every week. Thanks in part to First Advantage, big-time supporters of all things UNC. Bodie, last time around, you know, the regular season, oh, so crushing for you, my man. I was feeling for you. You hit what we thought was the game winner. Montana State comes back and does something crazy. Boy, I know there's no easy way to rebound after that, but what was going through your head at the end of that one?
Man, it's tough, especially in all seriousness. We probably shouldn't have put ourselves in that position. We should have played a lot better throughout that whole game. So obviously, that shot wasn't the reason why we lost. Just so happened to be the last part of the reason why we lost, which is really hard. But ultimately, I was just happy the teammates gave me the opportunity to put the ball in the basket. That happened, and then you know we go from there. And the kid hits a tough shot. There's some things that you just have to live with, and the basketball god shined on them that day.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It was crushing. But for you guys, I mean, you finished the season for the most part pretty well. I mean, you always say you want to be playing your best basketball as you get into the tournament, beating Montana, sweeping Montana, taking care of Idaho, and beating Weber State, getting back at them. I mean, you had a nice stretch there. And again, a close game against Montana State. But I know you look at it, Bodie, and you're like, hey, man, we got so much unfinished business. And it starts tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think looking at the team and looking at how our guys react in situations, we're definitely really ready to play in this tournament and prove that that we can be the best team in this league. And it's really exciting for me to see and just kind of take a step back and be a part of. And honestly, for us, we're just really excited to be here and really excited to show what we got.
All right, so what does it look like? Northern Arizona, Eastern Washington, you're going to be playing the winner between those teams, of course, that game, I should say. Eastern Washington's a really good team. And Northern Arizona, I mean, even for their record, they have a couple of really good players. So what do you think about the potential of both matchups there?
I think both of them are going to be tough matchups for us. I think that size-wise, as well as like just across-the-board matchups, that both teams are a little bit bigger than us. I know NAU starting three, practically five men right now, and UWash starts a 6'6" point guard. You know, so like
yeah.
It's just tough to see, and it's tough to have those matchups. But ultimately, we beat both teams, and just trying to figure out what we did great against both those teams and capitalize on that stuff.
How much does that help you? You just said it, beat both of those teams. You beat pretty much every team in the Big Sky Conference. So how much does that give you, you know, even in the top teams? You swept Southern Utah. You swept Montana. You beat Montana State once. You beat Weber State once. How much of a confidence booster is that to know, okay, it's been done before. We know we can beat anybody in this conference.
Yeah, definitely a huge confidence booster for us. Knowing that we've beat most teams in the league at least once, and that's just big for us, as well as like it's not only like seeing the wins and knowing that we beat them so we can beat them again. It's more taking what we learned from the losses and pushing that into our guys and showing them what we need to do better to win these games again. Because like playing teams three times in a year is a lot to ask.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, that's what I always think about. Is you guys beat each other up throughout the course of the regular season, and then you got to go do it when the stakes are even higher when it comes to the conference tournament. So, take us through that. What's that like ultimately?
I was actually talking to Connor Creech about this earlier today. He asked what the atmosphere is like. It's not a huge change. I think everyone knows that it's winner going home, so that it's amped up a little bit. But I don't think anyone like tries a little harder. They're just trying to do what the best they can to win some games. So ultimately, it's just who plays better.
Do you guys feel rested? I know that was huge for you guys to get that first round bye, but are you feeling good?
Absolutely. I think everyone's rested. We don't have a lot of guys on the injury report. It's really looking forward and looking positive for us.
Yeah, I know it's going to be exciting. We're all looking forward to it. How do you view it? Like you said, you know it's not necessarily about playing. Like teams aren't going to play harder. They know what the stakes are. They're going to play their game, but are there nerves or stress? I mean, pressure. What's that like?
I would love to say that I've been here so long that there's no nerves, but there's definitely still some nerves here. And I think it's just a fun atmosphere. I mean, we get to play in the same spot every year. It's a lot of fun to be a part of that. The whole city is in on it, so it's really cool. And when it comes down to games, it's really just how do you mentally prepare yourself? Because it's not about being physically right. It's not about being the best player on the floor. It's about being how can you mentally prepare yourself to play three games in three straight days to win a championship, really.
Well, and it's unlike anything that you're doing throughout the regular season. I always find that interesting, too. I mean, you play, you know, maybe you'll have a day or two in between, maybe a week in between. Suddenly the tournament hits and it's bam, 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 if you can get to the championship. So it is, it's a completely an interesting contrast toward the end of the season.
Definitely. I think if you look at our schedule, you can say we have a little bit of an advantage because we got to go play in Hawaii, and we played three games in three straight days and see what it was about. And ultimately, we came up short there in the tournament there, so we can't let that happen again.
I think that's a great point, too. Those early tournaments really do. And again, it seems like it was so far away when you guys were playing in Hawaii. But that does stick with you, though, right? I mean, even guys that haven't been there before, that sticks with you. That tournament feel sticks with you.
Absolutely. And I think if you just go back to that, as well as the guys that have played in this Big Sky tournament, it's a task, man. A lot of these Big Sky teams aren't what their records show, and it's gonna be a lot of work to get a conference championship. So for us, we're just staying focused on one game at a time and being happy that we're here.
Bodie, I can't let you go without saying something about the women's side of things, man. What an upset for them. They take care of Idaho State 72-54. They're moving on. They'll play Northern Arizona later tonight. I mean, that's got to be pretty cool because you all feel like you're together in this thing at this tournament.
Absolutely. I wish the dates were a little closer together. I wish we would have been able to see maybe two of their games, if not three, you know, and it sucks that we're only going to get to see this one and maybe another one. But they're playing really, really well right now. And they've played really well to finish out their season. So hopefully everything stays on the up and up for them. I mean, you upset the number one team in the conference tournament. That's a huge thing. So if they can continue to have this momentum and this energy, I know from experience. I mean, my freshman year, Southern Utah played, I want to say, Portland State and shot the crap out of the ball. And so when they came into our game, they carried all that energy and all that ability over to our game and just beat the brakes off of us. So I know if the girls can continue to do that, then ultimately they have a good shot.
Yeah, it's all about if you start seeing that ball, you know this, man, you start seeing that ball go through the hoop, that can carry over even to the next day.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Bodie, my man, hey, good luck. When you get back, let's jump over to Cables. We'll get you your favorite dish. We'll try something new. Yes. I know you love that place. But we just want to wish you the best of luck, man. I know Cables is a huge supporter. They're ready to go. This community is ready to go. Go do something special.
Yep, absolutely. Looking forward to it.
All right, my man. Good luck tomorrow. We'll be paying attention to Eastern Washington and Northern Arizona to find out who that opponent's going to be tomorrow. And we'll wish you the best of luck, my friend.
All right, perfect. Thank you.
That's Bodie Hume of the UNC Bears. Yeah, it's going to be intense, man. It's going to be nuts. You've got to be dialed in for three straight games now for UNC. We'll find out just how dialed in Coach Smiley has this crew. I'll be hosting Basketball and Banter tonight via Zoom. It's an opportunity for UNC basketball donors or potential donors, people that are big into the program, to learn more specifics. Coach Smiley breaks into film on that thing, man. I mean, it's an education. If you're interested, shoot me a text. If you want to get involved somehow, check out those Zoom calls because we're trying to grow this program. The Bears are going to keep doing great things because I have that much confidence in Steve Smiley. And it might just be this year. I think they're going to do it. I think they are. And it starts tomorrow. 47 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. When we come back, we're going to wrap up the show, also finishing touches on what's with the hate, the John Elway hate? Good thing happens in Denver, and you morons just go take the negative route. I think it's like a terrible thing. Like you get Russell Wilson, and instead of being excited about it, it's, well, good thing John Elway got out of the way. I mean, come on, can we not be happy one day? Can we not be positive one day? Or do we just have to find the negative in the situation? 47 minutes after the hour, short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
Want sports from the coach? Tune in to Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
52 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. If you want to shoot us a text, First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Rounding it out today, our whole show on theholeshow.com, our Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Did the Broncos at the end of the day pay too much for Russell Wilson? Listen, this is the one time I'll give you that pass. I get it. You're not going to know, realistically, until next year. If the Broncos miss the Super Bowl, I do think that people are – I think it's fair to say the Broncos paid – or Super Bowl, the playoffs. If the Broncos miss the playoffs, I think it's fair for fans to say that they gave up too much. That's how much pressure I'm putting on the Broncos. They have to make the playoffs to make this deal work. I think they will. I'd put money on it, and it's going to be a really good thing. Miss the playoffs, George Payton suddenly comes under fire big time. So he goes from the darling GM of the NFL and the Denver Broncos to, why did you give up everything? Now you're a playoff-less team and you have no first-round pick. So again, I don't think it's going to come to that, but you absolutely have to get into the playoffs. You got to get in. That will be that. There's the pressure there. And then this last thought on Elway. I get some of you guys. I get where some of you are coming on this, talking about this. But you can still call out the last 6 years while respecting the guy. John Elway did a noble thing. He realized he wasn't there it anymore. Couldn't get the draft figured out. Couldn't figure out post-life after Manning. Probably botched the Brock Osweiler thing. We'll never know about that deal. But at the end of the day, he looked at it and said, I could wait another year until this ownership thing starts. Once they go for sale, it'll give me a perfect excuse to bow out. And then, no shame. Or I can admit that I'm not the man for the job anymore, and I can go hire my replacement today and be done. And I questioned the move at the time. I said, why not just stick it out? You may never have got George Payton, though. He was a hot market GM. You knew he was going to go somewhere. So Elway swallowed his pride. And he said, I'm not the man for this job anymore. I still want to be involved, but I'm not there. So I need somebody else. And he brings George Payton in. And it was the right call. So I guess some of you don't even want to give him any credit for making that hire. Just like you don't want to give him credit for bringing Peyton Manning in. Or drafting Von Miller. Or bringing Champ Bailey back. Or winning a Super Bowl. Or winning with Tim Tebow, who was a terrible quarterback. But they won the division. No credit there, huh? Now, just think about it. Think about all that John Elway's done for the Denver Broncos. That'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.